Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies, Ken Berger speaker. Today on the broadcast, we will resume our studies in the book of Hebrews on knowing Christ. Thus far, we have considered him as our captain and deliverer, our apostle and high priest, our sacrifice and our access to God, and today, with the help of the Lord, we wish to consider the Lord as our goal and our example in the Christian life. We will be reading from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, and if you have your Bibles near at hand, it would be very profitable if you could follow and see from the Scriptures as we read about this lovely subject on knowing Christ. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Now you notice, perhaps, as we read verse 1, that the Christian life is spoken of as a race. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now this language applies, and the word "wherefore" at the beginning of this verse and throughout the whole verse implies the race is comparable to that that was run by the heroes and heroines of faith in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. That thrilling chapter, a chapter that tells us about the heroes and heroines of faith in past years. And it would seem to me that the Christian race is best described as a relay race. More than one runner. The baton is handed down from one runner to another. They are out of the scene. They're off the scene now. Those in the 11th chapter of Hebrews have run their race. And they have given us the baton. And we are carrying the baton now. What kind of job are we doing? I think it's so interesting to note that the comparison that is made here. The word "wherefore," for instance. Now, wherever we find the word "wherefore" in Scripture, or the word "therefore," we should try to ascertain what it is there for. It always refers to that which has preceded. I like to use the word "therefore" because of this. I like to use that paraphrase. Because of this, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now you and I are under, as Christians, we are under surveillance. We're under the surveillance of the angels. We're under the surveillance of those that are walking around us and seeing how we're living for God, especially the unredeemed. And oh, how that pleases them when they can see failure in the life of a Christian and they say, "See, there's nothing to it." We are carrying the baton. What are we doing with it? How are we doing it? Think of those that have carried that baton, the faith and the revelation of God and the demonstration of his power in their lives. Think of how they've carried that baton in times past. Think of the 12 apostles, if you will, please. They carried the baton in their race, and they were all martyrs, with the possible exception of the apostle John. The apostle Paul was a martyr. They gave their lives that we might have the faith that we have. We could go on through history and multiply the examples of those that run in the race, and they run well. Now we are on the scene. We are the one that is carrying the baton. Are we running the race well? Now, here's a word of instruction that should be indeed taught to people who are in a relay race. we have an audience, the cloud of witnesses. Now, we know we're under the surveillance of the angels. You only have to read Ephesians chapter 3 to realize that. They're learning by watching the church. We're under surveillance. Now, are we under surveillance by those who have already run and are off the scene now? I don't know. I can't speak positively on that subject, but I shouldn't be a bit surprised that they're in the stands now watching to see how we do. And, oh, it is so important to run that race well and pass that baton on to future generations that people might come to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a simple instruction here. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, when you're running a race, you choose light track shoes. You don't run in big, heavy, cumbersome shoes. And you don't run fully clad. The Apostle Paul, in the 9th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, speaks of running the race there, and he speaks of himself as being a runner. Here it is, verse 24 of the 9th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth with the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. It was a wreath in the time of the early Olympics. But we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, Paul says, not as uncertainly. Running is serious business. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body. He trained. He was in a severe training, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, this does not mean that the Apostle Paul was afraid of being lost, just simply being disapproved, and perhaps removed from God's ministry because he didn't go on. All right, now, the Apostle Paul ran the race, and there is always a goal at the end of the race. You and I are running in that race, and we received the baton, and we're carrying it now. I have seen, I did some running in high school and college, and I have run in relay races. I've anchored some of them. Others, I have been first, second, or third runner. And I've seen this happen on the track. The members of a relay team, the first three runners run well, splendidly, and they put a lot of distance between the lead man and the next runner following behind. And the fourth man, the anchor man, so to speak, the anchor man takes the baton and he thinks, I've got a big lead. I don't need to extend myself. I don't need to run myself clear off my feet. And so he takes it easy. Now, there's a good runner behind him, and he slips up on him. And at the last minute, that runner has the surplus energy. He has enough stuff, if I may use that term, left in him, that he passes the anchor man. And it's too late for him to do anything about it. He should have preserved that wonderful lead he had. Now, isn't that true of us? We should preserve the lead that has been given to us down through the years. Think of it, if you will, please, fellow Christian. How much do you owe to those that have gone before you? And now listen, we must not forget that Christ is our example. We read now in the 12th chapter of 1 Hebrews, looking unto Jesus, we have a goal. He had a goal. But our goal is the Lord Jesus and pleasing him. He had a goal himself. We read now, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He had a goal. The joy that was set before him. What was that goal? Well, first of all, it was to please the Father. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He had a goal. Now, you and I should have a goal. We should do what we do to please our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And he loved the church. He loved the church. He had a goal. He died for the church. Listen to Ephesians 5 and 25. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, he had a goal. His first goal, of course, was to please his father and to do his will. I always do those things that please him, he could say, as no one else could ever say. Now, he indeed now, our Lord Jesus Christ now, is our goal. And that goal is to please him. We read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, these words, the Apostle Paul in his prayer says there, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of him in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Unto all pleasing. Pleasing him in our walk. Fruitful in every good work. Number two, increasing in the knowledge of God. Number three. Now, there are only three ways mentioned here, and all through the New Testament, you find the ways in which you can please Christ. Christ had a goal, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. What was that joy? He died for you and for me, that we might be his own. And he died for everybody in this world. It is not the will of God that any should perish. Hell was never created for mankind at all. We're told that. The Lord spoke that from his own blessed lips. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It was not the will of God that man go there. God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. Christ had a goal. You and I were his goal. He died for us. He went to that cross. He took our sins upon him. He took the blame for them. He took the charge of them. He died in agony. He suffered the judgment we should have suffered, and did it gladly. He had a goal. Who for the joy that was set before him? Oh, to know a love like this. I think of people that don't know Christ. They're missing so much. They're missing the very reason for which they were born, that they might know Christ and appreciate a love like that. A love like his that loved us and died for us. Oh, how wonderful it is to know a Savior like this. And we have a goal, that is to please him even as he had a goal. And he is our goal, and he is our example. May we follow the example of our Lord Jesus and do our best to just compensate him a little with a life that pleases him. Our Father, today we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for what we have in Christ. Help us to follow him. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.